Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, this morning we want to say thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your compassions that faileth not. The Bible says they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We thank you for a day like this. This is indeed the day that, Lord, you have made. Every second, every minute, every hour, every day, it is you who has put it together. We receive every blessing today, even in your presence. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you teach us to be able to enjoy living for you. Thank you for everyone who is here. I know our lives will never be the same again, even before we leave. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. Why don't you put your hands together for the Lord, and you may please be seated. Galatians 6:6, Sunday. The scripture says, let him that is taught in the word communicate or share unto him that teaches in all good things. In all good things. What does it mean? It's very, very simple. It means that the person who receives teaching must in return give back to the person who teaches him things that are good. What are good things in this world, in this life? What are some of the good things we have in this world? Money is a good thing. Uh-huh. What else? Houses. Uh-huh. Cars. Jewelry. What else? What? Gift coupons. Good health. I don't know how you give good health, man. Okay. Prayer. Food. Good things. Now, since this year, before this year, what was happening was that the person who teaches us was directly our local pastors. All right? And what that has actually made us do is that the one who really gave birth to this ministry and to this church, we actually sideline him. But he's the one who actually has taught all of us. If it wasn't Bishop, you wouldn't have me. So really, the person who teaches us on the podcast and in the books every day, I'm going to preach about tithe, and I'm preaching from Bishop's book. So really, the person who is speaking to us is Bishop Doug. But what happens is that we enjoy the things because we take his word and we explain it, and it comes over as if we are the ones teaching. Of course, we also teach you, and you need to appreciate us. But on our birthdays, now it has become something we want to do in our church. On the birthday of the pastor, we appreciate him. But on Galatians 6, it's Sunday, we honor the founder and the bishop. This is the first time in about 30 years that we are doing something like this. Hallelujah. Because at a point, you come to realize that, you know what, it's not right. All of us came into, it's like you are honoring children and leaving out the father who gave birth to the child that you are appreciating. That's the reason why sometimes when I preach, it comes inside. We teach that you don't just take somebody's daughter and then just marry her. You have to appreciate the person who gave birth to the daughter. So you people think it's African culture. There's nothing, because you only see it from African moods. That's why you think it's African culture. But no, it's biblical. You have to honor thy father and thy mother. And that woman's mother and father are also your mother and your father. In the law, if you do it in the law properly. Right? So you don't take somebody's daughter and not honor the person's parents. You will not be blessed. I said you will not be blessed. So we teach in this church here that if you like somebody's daughter, the proper way is to go and see the person's parents. What do you think? It's not African culture. Don't be mistaken at all. If you read your Bible, you will know that what we are teaching is biblical, not just some African culture. Africa, we serve God better. Yeah, I don't know whether you'll be jealous, but that's what it is. Because there's a particular form of training we receive that we don't get here. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible where people married and they did it in a restaurant. It was done in the home. It wasn't done in the church, in the home. I said it wasn't done in the church, it was done in the home. Mommy was there, daddy was there, uncles were there, brothers were there, sisters, everybody in the family, two sides were there. Now these days, we come to church, the church is even 15 minutes. The rest is gyration at some guest house or club somewhere with food and cake and all kinds of nonsense, if you want to call it. And that's why marriages don't work. Marriages don't last. No marriage counseling, no permission and blessing from parents. How can your marriage last? How can you be happy in your marriage? But when we say this, people don't agree. Even as I'm saying it, some of you won't agree with me. In your head, you are replying to what I'm saying. In the same manner, the man through whom Lighthouse Chapel International has come into existence is Bishop Dagwood Mills. And we want to appreciate him today. Amen. So, if you understand what I'm saying, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, verse 6, 7, thereabout. So that's Bishop Dag. He was here in July, for those of you who saw him. He's a mighty blessing. You know, he has believed in us when we didn't even believe in ourselves. I remember when he was trying to get me to become a pastor. I resisted it. I fought against it. I used to hide from him. And the man said, no, give it a try. Give it a try. So when we didn't even feel that we could do anything, he believed in us and he still trusted us. And why don't you want to encourage him? And when I preach to you, say he's powerful. I came from somewhere. Somebody gave birth to me. I said, somebody gave birth to me. We have to honor that particular person. Let us learn to honor pastors. This is one of the things that I don't know whether it was good or bad, but somehow there's some good in it. That when the new government, when they started giving out these awards, national awards to people, they awarded two pastors national awards. Yeah, two pastors got Reverend McGowan from the Full Gospel Fellowship and then Apostle Ellsworth Williams. They receive awards, yeah, from the new government. This order of this, the order of that kind of thing. Yeah, they got awards, which is very, very nice, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't do anything, but some way, somehow you feel nice because pastors are being recognized as important people in the society. You get it? The two of them got awards. And I think it's just honorable. It doesn't really, I mean, whether we are giving rewards by people or not, really is not an issue. You don't really, because our reward is in heaven. It's God who really, his word and his appreciation is what is important. But, you know, somehow you see that somebody has sat down and thought that it's not only those who have contributed to this, that, but people who are also preaching and teaching people and helping poor people and all that, they also deserve some kind of recognition. I think it's a blessing. You know, so we must be people, especially when we are Christians and we believe in God. We must believe in the pastors that God has given to us. And we must honor and appreciate them. When your pastor is blessed, you must be happy that he's blessed. Because if your pastor is not going up, you won't go up. If your pastor doesn't prosper, you will not prosper. Because what will happen is that he will preach against prosperity against you in a church. Yeah, because look at it. Yeah, the pastor is not doing well, and the church members are doing well. Do you think he'll be happy? No. When he comes, he'll preach negatively. And they'll say, but the pastor jealous or what? Of course, he got to be jealous. Because when good things have come, you're the only one who is receiving it. You are not sharing. On the contrary, people find it very funny, and they fight it when pastors are being blessed. But if the pastor doesn't go up, how can you, the child, go up? That's not right. It's like some of you, your life is okay, but your parents, you don't care about them. Yeah. At least if nothing at all on their birthday or Christmas time, you got to put some things together. Some 12 chicken, 10 pounds of chicken, 4 crates of what? Some juice, 20 crates of egg, something to bless your mother and your father at Christmas time. What do you mean? Where would you have been? They could have aborted you, but they didn't. Your mother could have eaten you up as a witch if when you came down. Yeah, I'm preaching already, isn't it? Yeah, good message. There are people you need to learn to appreciate in this life. And one of them is your pastor. Don't join foolish people who insult pastors. Leave pastors to God. And you appreciate and honor them. God will honor you. God will appreciate you too. I said God will honor and appreciate you too. Hallelujah. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says that the mystery of tithing is what I am preaching about. That but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. The mystery of tithing. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. When you talk about tithing, you are talking about something mysterious to your prosperity. It is the mystery of God. Tithing is a mystery. Tithing is a means of wisdom that causes Christians to prosper. Instead of thinking of ways to prosper, it is through tithing. It's mysterious. Now, when you say mysterious, you look at it. You go to work, and at the end of the month, if that is the only source of income, you get a salary. Now, it doesn't make sense that when you earn $80,000, that you should give $8,000 to God. Where is God? Who is God? Isn't it the church that's asking for the money? Isn't it the pastor? Does the pastor, is he not trying to build his house with the church money? Look at dress up your wife. Look at my bills. Recently I was asking one of our church workers, I said, do you pay tithe? She said, no. I said, why? She said, she has too many bills. Because it doesn't make sense that you have bills. It's almost as if your expenditure is equal to your income minus your tithe. So when your salary comes in and you write down your expenditure, it is the same as your income. Or all you have left over. It's about $2,000 for maybe ration. And even that one is very deceptive because all your money don't go to pay your expenses. You have money for transportation. You have money for food. But you don't have money for your tithe. So we sit down and we think that if you take a 10% of your salary and you give it to God, you need more. Why does God want to take money from you when you need more? Why doesn't God rather give you more? Why is he asking you for a tenth of it when he could give you more? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. It's the same thing that happened to these guys in Daniel chapter 1. When the four guys, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they decided not to eat from the king's table. And at the end of the day, after 10 days, they looked nicer than those who ate from the king's table. It's mystery. It's mysterious. That, you see, so we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. It's so wise to tithe, but it's also mysterious. That whenever I get any money, I should give a tenth to God. Hey. I mean, the shoe and the things that I've planned to buy, if 10% goes out, we got to wait till next month end to be able to buy this thing that I want to buy. I've seen a flat screen TV. 72 inches. You see, when you go to these electronic shops, you know, they showcase all these things. And then even you see that the colors are different. The Samsung, the LG, the Kobe, and the J-Wing and all of that. Every color has its own thing. You look at this one, you say, I like this Samsung one. It looks clearer. Yeah. So I like the LG one. It look good on my wall. But the deception is that when you pay your tithe, when you give your tithe, you are losing. Meanwhile, those of us who don't pay tithe are not rich anyway. Because prosperity really is when you don't owe anybody. Prosperity, unlike what some of us think, is not in the outward things we show. Prosperity, you may not agree with me, but that's up to you. But when you say you are prosperous, it doesn't mean that you are studying to pay off somebody. How can prosperity be equal to paying somebody back in the next 25 years? Well, how can that be prosperity? So how can you drive a car that you are paying off and you say you are prosperous? It's deception. That is why tithing is a mystery, because you have to do away with it. And God uses that to bless us tremendously. The Jews are an example of mysterious blessings. The Jews pay annually 4 point something billion to the synagogue. Yeah. The tithe the Jews pay to the synagogue on a yearly basis is about 4 point something billion. Yeah, US, not Guyanese dollars. And they are the only nation in the world who have the revelation of the tithe. They don't pay tithe. They don't joke with tithe. The Bible says that the Pharisees, they used to tithe from cumin and anise, vegetables, herbs. How can you tithe on a herb? You harvest kalaloo from your farm and you tithe on it. How many of us forget to tithe? To give a tenth of our increase. But it is something that God has instituted to bless us. Like I was saying, you see, when you look at the prodigal son, the one who stayed in the house, the senior brother, you know, he was vexed that the father had organized a party and this is for the son. The Bible says, when the guy came back home, the father gave him the best robe. He gave him a ring. And he had party for him. But he had nothing. Poor people like parties. They like clothes, jewelry. But they don't have anything. The senior brother, who had not gone anywhere, when he came and he was vexed and his father came to speak to him, what did his father tell him? The father said, everything that I have here is for you. But he never got a robe. He didn't get a ring. There was no party for him. Rich people don't do foolish things with money. So prosperity is not what you see. There are many people who will not show what they have. Yeah, they just walk around. And people say, most people come and say, who's the pastor? They ask all the time, who's the pastor? Who's the pastor here? And there are so many of us, so depending on who's around, which one? We are all pastors. We are even women who are pastors. It's wisdom. It's mysterious. Now, somebody was telling me something. Somebody was telling me in the church, he said, I have $100,000. And I want to buy a vehicle. The first thing I asked the person, have you tithed? And she smiled. I said, your face like crocodile. You've got this of 100,000 from somewhere. You have not even thought about tithing. You are thinking about a vehicle. Don't let the vehicle crash and kill you. Sometimes you see, we wonder, oh, it was a Christian. What happened? It's a Christian, but she stole God's money. So God took his protection away from her. So the person said, I'm going to buy a vehicle. I said, why do you want to buy a vehicle? The person said, because I spend so much money on care, on taxi. I said, really? So if you have not gotten this money, would you not have continued to spend money on a car? Now, I like it when my church members try to test my intelligence. Because they, with her and whoever is connected to it, they have already discussed what they are going to do. So she's just throwing it in my face. So that when I see a vehicle around here, I will say, hey, what's going on? When did you get this vehicle? So at least I know. I said, so how are you going to buy this vehicle? I said, oh, I'm going to take an amount from this money I have and deposit it as a collateral at a bank and then collect so much. And I'll add up to the money and I'll buy my vehicle. So I said, listen, you are rich by 100,000. Why do you want to be poor by 400,000? Think about it. You have 100,000 that nobody is asking you to pay back. Debt free. In fact, you are in a positive figures. Why do you want to put yourself under something that makes you go negative 400,000? You heading good? Because, you see, because you are like the prodigal son. You just want to show things around. You just want to have ropes and rings and parties. Meanwhile, there's nothing behind you. She was smiling. I know she will not listen to me. I know she will not. She will not listen to me. I know it. I know. I can bet my whole life on what I'm saying. Because poor people are like that. They can't take advice. They want, when they get money, they want to show off with a party or with a cloth, something to show that I have something. And that's how black people behave. Why do you want to go and owe the bank when you have 100,000 solid without a problem? Why don't you make use of the 100,000 rather? Why don't you pray for wisdom and then ask God, God, let me put this thing into use so that I can get more. And by, let's say in a year's time, I can get money and buy a car, cash down. You see, so people like this, they walk around thinking that they are prosperous. But you see, the mystery of paying tithe and the mystery of the wisdom of God, they don't have it. How many people live in this world and they have the resources that this country have? Isaiah chapter 45, didn't you read it last week? What did he say? There are treasures and there are wealth hidden in secret places. I said, there are treasures in the darkness and they are secret hidden. Isaiah 45 says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. That thou may know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. Guyana has so many riches. How many of it is in the hands of Christians? How many of it is in the hands of the people of God? Even the people of this country, how many of it belongs to us? You think it's easy to get money? You think it's easy to get rich? You think it's easy to have that which God has installed on this earth? It's not easy. But when you think you are losing by paying tithe, God is using that. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We also spoke about the fact that when you pay tithe, you help the church to be built. See, we're buying another land somewhere. And when I went to the lawyer and we're doing all the paperwork, the lawyer said, "Boy, you expanding." I said, "Shh." I said, why shouldn't we expand? Why not? Why shouldn't the church of God become stronger? How can the church of God become stronger? It's not through prayer and fasting. It's through you and I giving our money and our resources to the church to be managed properly, for the church to be seen stronger. I said, you wait. You see what God is going to do with us in this country. Yeah, we are expanding. Well, we will be quiet. When the people wonder, this lighthouse people, who are they? Where did they come from? Have they been here all along? As I was telling you the other day, somebody came from Ghana to bury a relative here. And I happened to meet him. And I said, "Well, my name is this, our condolences. I'm from the Lighthouse Chapel." He said, "Yeah, I saw the signboard." And I said to myself, "These people, they are here also?" Because from Ghana to Ghana, you see the same yellow signboard. Something must speak to your mind. And these people, they are what? The kingdom of God must expand. Do you get it? So the tithe goes into building the church. It's unfortunate that Christians don't pay tithe in Guyana. I know of a businessman. He has a supermarket in town. He says he does not believe in tithing. He believes in giving, not tithing. I ask him, "Do you have a Bible? Do you have a Bible? Do you read your Bible? All you do is accounting. Cost price, selling price. That's all you think about. You believe in giving but not tithing. You can't be a Christian. You are a mistaken Christian. You don't believe in tithing, you believe in giving. That's why you never prosper. All the goods you have in your shop will be on credit. You always be paying people who give it. You never have to enjoy. You'll be paying the bank of so many years. You'll be paying this way. People have problems, you know. Anybody who does business and has a peace of mind, it is a blessing of God. I said it's mysterious. Because when God blesses you, let's look at the reason why we are saying that it is mysterious. The mystery of tithing. The Bible says that, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes." Not only offerings. In tithes. Yeah, and offerings. And we realized last week, Sunday, that God would not say that we have robbed him unless that which we are spending is not for us. You are not a thief if you use the money that belongs to you. You're only a thief, Joel. Well, you use money that doesn't belong to you. So now you ask yourself, but my tithe, the tenth, it's part of my salary. Why? No. God is saying, it is not for you. That's why he's calling you and I thieves, because the tenth, we don't give it to him because it belongs to him. He says that you are cursed with a curse. That's how, you see, that's what I'm saying, that when you are blessed, you don't owe anybody. Yeah. Many great ministries don't owe anybody. Bishop Dag was saying, he thought he was the only one who, you know, knew this principle. He said he was listening to Bishop Oyedepo of Winners Chapel. And then he said, God spoke to him clearly that do not borrow. Do not owe anybody anything. Bishop Oyedepo is a rich man. Number one, the people are jealous. The people put him as one of the richest pastors in Nigeria. People are jealous when pastors are blessed. But do you know what they do? Because they believe in honoring God. And because of that, they are blessed. Because of that, they are blessed. They pay their tithe and they are blessed. Hallelujah. Oh, I said hallelujah. So the Bible says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then he goes to verse 10. He says, but bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You see, when we have money in the church wouldn't go to the bank for a loan. Why should we go for a loan to buy a land and build a church when you bring your tithe? When you bring the tenth of your increase? The reason why the church is poor is because people don't pay their tithe. The reason why the church cannot bring any preacher to Guyana. When was the last time you saw a powerful preacher come to Guyana to preach? All the preachers you see on American TV, when was the last time they came to Guyana to preach? You know why? Because the church doesn't have money. When you saw Israel, you saw Sisi, some businessman who brought them. Not the church. On safe, Yog Mahadio is a Hindu guy, a former CEO of GT&T. It's a business. That's how you go for a pastor's conference at Providence Hotel or wherever, and you pay $6,000 gate fee. The church is one of the poorest organizations in Guyana. I tell you, with all due respect, I have heard that they are doing something new. But even First Assemblies, with all its popularity, the church building does not reflect the type of people who go to the church. With all due respect. Yeah. I've heard they are doing something quietly, secretly. We're waiting for it to happen. But if you look at the type of people who go to, I go to First Assemblies. The type of church building they have does not reflect who say they go there. And if they don't build a new, fresh, fancy church building, then it means that those people there, they are thieves. Because they go, they have fancy jobs, they have all kinds of things, but they don't give their tithe. That's why you have churches. I know of a church, they have a signboard in front of the church. This project is supported by the European Union. Because they are taking money from the European Union for a micro project of helping the community and society. So the European Union gives them euros and they build a church and they keep a part of it for sewing, cooking, and for tailoring for the people in the community. Because the church itself cannot support the church. The Bible says, bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Because the storehouse is a place where meat and food is reserved. From there, you take and you cook. From there, when the money is stored up, from there you take the money and you build churches and you buy lands and you do the things that God wants us to do in the church. Yeah. When there's nothing in our accounts, when there's nothing in the storehouse, how do we move on? How do we move on? Because it's not cheap to bring in a man of God into Guyana. I was so glad when Bishop came and there was a Marriott hotel. I don't care about all the controversy. What I care was that it was a fancy place to take him to. When I went there, I said, "What? This came right on time." Because I don't know where I was going to put my father. A very honorable man like that. Even though he wouldn't mind, he can sleep anywhere. Because when I started being a pastor, and I became a pastor in the first few years, he used to come and visit me in Holland. And he would sleep in my house, in the living room. We sit down till morning. We don't sleep. When Bishop comes to you, you don't sleep. It's now that he sleeps. I say he's an old man, so he sleeps. He sleeps early and he wakes up early. But when he was younger, he would come, we'll be in the living room, we'll chat. You see that he would doze off for some 15 minutes and he'd wake up and say, "Hey, Collins, you are sleeping." "Bishop, I'm around." Till the morning. You sleep right there in the living room. No, nothing, no air, nothing sophisticated at all. But when he comes to visit you, you got to honor him. You can say, "Oh, but my father is a simple man. Let me put him in some, Status International somewhere. Put him somewhere in the corner, sleeping." No, I have to give him the best. Yeah. Best, it was nice. I felt nice. Yeah. Alpha Hotel. Hey, please. It's not Omega. Oh, you don't like what I'm talking about? So for men of God, if you want Joel Osteen to come to Guyana, who's going to pay? When the church people, $1,000? Somebody came to this church, I was asking, "Give an offering, $1,000, $2,000. They are not coming back.
Because I'm asking people to pay $1,000. That's why people are poor. Think about it. Many people with houses owe the bank, including Christians who are supposed to be the children of God Almighty. It's artificial riches. The transport of the house is even the bank.
It's not yours.
So God is saying, bring in the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And he says, prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. This is mysterious. When I'm losing a tenth, I'm losing 8,000 out of my 80,000, I'm losing 10,000 out of my 100,000, I'm losing 4,000 out of my 40,000, and God is going to say that when I lose, it doesn't make sense. I thought it's when you gain that you become a blessing, not when you give. No. In the kingdom of God, is the opposite. You lose to gain. You don't gain to lose. When you gain, you lose it, but you have to lose it so that you can gain it. It's mysterious that when you give this one tenth, it causes like a key that opens the windows of heaven. And blessings are poured up. Your life will never be the same again when the windows of heaven are opened unto you. I said your life will never be the same again when the windows of heaven are open upon your life. Yeah. And anytime I hear of the windows of heaven, I always think about in the days of Noah. Yeah. In the days of Noah, the Bible says that when Noah entered into the ark with the animals and his family, then the windows of heaven opened and it started to rain. So anytime you want to find out how does it feel or what is the experience when the windows of heaven are open, go to Noah and see when the windows of heaven opened. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Guyana would have not been the same again. Even here, 15 minutes, we are changed forever. How much more when the windows of heaven are open? I tell you, the last time we had the disaster, they say some wind, some hurricane, something with breeze blew through Guyana. Come and see. My house that never gets flooded. Hey, my garage, for the first time in my life, see the water like that. I say, hey, this rain was very powerful. That was just some hurricane that was just passing by. It didn't come here, it passed by. Can you imagine when God decides to open the windows of heaven? Then you must pray that your house can float. Because you put your things on your bed and your bed will also be underwater. You have to climb the things on your bed and you still be in the water. So when God opens the windows of heaven, it is something that is unmatchable. And it is because you are giving a tenth. It's because you are tithing. It's because you are losing. It's because that which you say is not enough for you, you are taking a tenth out of that. It's mysterious. But if you will use this wisdom to tithe, you buy a car cash down. You buy a house cash down. I tell you. People say, hey, you do drugs or what? I said, no. The windows of heaven has been opened upon my life. Yeah. When you pay tithe, it means that the windows of heaven are open upon your life. Your life will never be the same again. Yeah. 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 Otherwise, you will serve God. Will borrow the bank, the this, the that, all over the place. And we cannot be, or we will not be able to show the world that we really serve a mighty God. Our lives are not the way God wants it to be. And he can't do much about it because we are not doing what he's asking us to do. The windows of heaven cannot be opened. Let me tell you, you see, these small blessings that we are receiving, that's not all. All the things that you think you're experiencing, they are just small, small, small blessings.
I'm hungry for the windows of heaven to open. I said, I'm waiting for the windows of heaven to open for blessings to be poured out on my life, for my life to change forever. Stand to your feet, somebody. My time is up.
Open up the sky. Fall down like rain. We don't want blessing. We want you. Open up the sky. Fall down like fire. We don't want anything but open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessing, we want you. And open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything but
our beloved Father, come on.
Our beloved Father, please come down and meet us. We are waiting on your touch. Open up the heavens, shower down your presence. We respond to your great love. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary. We won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary.
We are tired of ordinary blessings.
We won't be satisfied at all. Open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessings, we want you. Open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want
beloved Jesus.
Now, beloved Jesus, we just want to see you in the glory of your life. And earthly things don't matter, they just fade and shatter when we're touched by love divine. Satisfied with anything ordinary, we won't be satisfied at all. We won't be satisfied with anything ordinary, we won't be satisfied at all. And open up the sky, fall down like rain. We don't want blessing, we want you. To open up the sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything. Sky, fall down like fire. We don't want anything but you.
Father, in the name of Jesus,
we are tired of ordinary blessings. You have taught us the mystery to flooding of blessings, blessings in a way that we will never be the same again. The blessings that comes down upon us like floods. And that way to that blessing is a tithe. And the tenth of our increases, oh God, I pray that we will be committed and faithful to this principle and to this mystery of tithing, that our lives will never, never be the same again. Thank you, Father, for teaching us today. In Jesus' name.
You are not saved. You are not born again. You want to go to heaven when you die. This is a prayer you must pray. Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with all my heart that Jesus died for me. I believe God raised Jesus from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe that by this simple prayer, I have been saved from hell. My name is written in the book of life, and I am born again now. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.